Well, the last time we were all together seemed a few weeks ago now. We've been looking at that theme of God's hiding places, and it's the idea that, even as believers, we want to be ensured that we're hidden in God, hidden in His presence, under the shadow of the Almighty, under His covering and His protection, and we're walking in that way. And specifically last time we were touching on that need to be hidden in obedience. Wait, was that the last time? No, hidden in humility. That's it. Yeah. About hidden in humility. And one of the points of that message was how we can put on the garment of a servant. And we looked at that through the parable of the unprofitable servant or the unworthy servant. And I want to just quickly review that because there's a link between that and this week's theme. And I want to see that comparison this morning. It can be kind of helpful to balance scripture and see, one side of the coin and then the other side. But that we shared about the parable of the unprofitable servant in Luke 17. And, it's the Lord's presenting this scenario where a servant is out in the fields working all day, or he's over the flocks taking care of them. And, after a hard day's work, he comes in and Jesus, poses a question. After that, is the master going to say to the servant, "Oh, sit at the table and I'll make you dinner," right? And, of course, he said no. Rather, the master is going to say, "What's for supper?" Right? What are you going to make me now that it's supper time? But we presented this as the concept that for us, this is our safety, right? That we put on this mindset of a servant of God, that, whether we're doing well or we're not doing well, that we just put this mindset that we are simply His unprofitable or unworthy servant. We're not worthy of anything greater than what He's already done for us, which is to die for us. But in the sense, that's a hiding place for us. There's a safety in hiding in that humility of just being His servant. All right, but now I want to contrast another verse. This is actually also in the Gospel of Luke, and it's another area where we can be hidden. Now, this one is in Luke chapter 12. And so let's read this. Luke 12 and verse 37. And he said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Truly I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he'll come forth and he will serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or in the third watch and so find them, blessed are those servants." Now, I've never kind of made that comparison. What kind of struck me is, making this point last time of no servant would expect the master to say, "Sit down and I'll prepare you a meal." But here is Jesus saying that very thing to a servant: "Sit down and I will feed you. I'll care for you." And so here God is offering this. But what I want to key in on is this aspect of how we can be hidden in Him, right? Because here's the Lord exhorting us to develop and live out this idea of watching. Those who watch, right? If He finds us watching, He will make His servants to sit down, He'll feed us. And so I wanted to just kind of consider this thought of being hidden in watching. Now, I'm going to say there's a premise here. I'm just going to kind of get out of the way, is that there's a certain context of the last days for this passage that I'm sidestepping. And I'm not addressing that, and I recognize that there's a certain interpretation. I'm just bringing out a general application or a parallel here that we can apply to our life today so that it can help us in our quest to find our hiding place in God. And so to do that, I want to look at another portion of the Gospels. And this is another story that's related to this. It's with Christ and his disciples at the very end of his ministry, right? And it's associated with this thought of watching, and it's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is kind of the story when you think about watching with the Lord, right? And so just before Christ was betrayed by Judas, he brought all of his disciples into the garden, and, you know, he said, watch. He needed strength, you know, he needed to receive strength from his Father to go to the cross. And in Mark 14 and verse 37, it says this. And it says, he came after praying for a while. He came and he found his disciples asleep. And he said to Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Are you asleep? Could not you watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. All right? And so Jesus, he came to pray in preparation for the cross, to receive strength. But here the Lord was inviting his disciples to take part in that, to watch, to pray with him, but they fell asleep. And, you know, this scripture often rings in my ear, in my spirit. Could not you watch with me for 1 hour? Now, I added that little phrase, with me, right? That's not the literal writing in the Gospels, but I think we can understand what Christ is asking, right? He's looking for those who will watch with him, right? That have that connection to him in watching. And there's a tremendous benefit for this, actually. And you know, reading this in a little different translation, in verse 38, in the ESV, it says it this way. It says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Right? And so there's a clear thought that this state of readiness, of action and watching with the Lord, it will preserve us when temptation, when trials come our way. It's our hiding place of watching, learning to watch with the Lord. And so that begs the question, well, what does it really mean to watch, right? What does it mean to be watchful in this context? Well, in the Greek, the word used is, I had to get the pronunciation. I'm terrible with pronouncing Greek words, but it's gregoreo, gregoreo. I think I got that. But basically, it means to be awake, right? Not sleeping. To be awake, but to be vigilant. See, I even have trouble with English words. Vigilant, to be watchful. And so, you know, what we can understand from this concept is it's to be awake, it's to be alive, it's to be connected to Christ with his life flowing. Because as we're watching, we're looking to him, we're crying out to him, we're praying. And, you know, there's certain actions we have to take as believers to maintain our connection to Christ, right? To maintain that state of being awake to Christ. And, you know, one of the main one we see in this situation, in this context, as Christ is in the garden, right, is prayer. As he's praying to his Father for strength and grace to go to the cross, he's saying, pray with me, you know, watch with me. And it's almost like an imploring cry to his disciples. I mean, it's almost like a pitiful cry. Oh, can't you just watch with me for 1 hour? Can't you connect with me so that the life from heaven will flow in this situation? And, you know, really, that's what prayer is about. Yes, it is to lift up, right? It's okay to have our list. And we pray through our list and we're praying for God. But you know what we're actually looking for? We're looking for life. We're looking for answers for God to move from heaven. You know, maybe it's for others. You know, Lord, praying for this missionary, or Lord, I'm praying for this brother or sister in need. What do they need? They need the life of heaven to flow into their situation, into their bodies if they need healing. Lord, let your life flow. It's a connection. Now, when we're considering the context and the purpose, it's that thought of being awake and alive, receiving life. And I would propose that there's actually many forms of action that could, or activity that we can include in this thought of watching and waiting on the Lord, right? Because in prayer, there should be a time of lifting our voice, right? We're crying out to God for situations. But, you know, also in prayer, there's a time of quieting ourselves to hear Him, to have an expectancy, right? To be quickened by His Spirit or hearing His words. And that kind of leads us to another activity that can connect us to God, right? Because it, as it says in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so how do we maintain this living connection, this state of being watchful with the Lord, right? We have to also be people of the word. In His word, of His word, His word flowing. Of course, Christ called Himself the living word, or the living bread that came down from heaven. And so a part of that watching is spending time in His word and understanding that we're spending time with the one who is called the word from the beginning. And you know, when we're in the word, something miraculous takes place, something invisible, but something in our spirits as we give ourselves to, you know, His word, letting it wash us and flow into us. He speaks to our heart. He gives us life. Now, we can understand like the dynamics of this through some of the Greek words, right, that are used for word in the Bible, in the New Testament anyway. Right, the first one is logos. Now, logos speaks of the written word, right? When we open our Bible and we start reading our chapters, our Psalms, our Proverbs, we're into the logos, right? And so it refers to the written word of God, His thoughts, His divine expressions that have been recorded for all time for us. But then there's that second aspect, which is the rhema, right? And that Greek word rhema, it speaks of God's uttered or applied word. And, you know, that's actually the version that Romans uses, that Paul used in Romans, right? That faith comes from the rhema. It's the word that's applied to our hearts as we read His logos. And so, you know, that's why we have to be people of the word. In one sense, we can't really get the rhema unless the logos is in us. And I think one of the saddest things in the Christian life is the unopened Bible, you know, is the word that's not opened and come to continually. And, you know, so much effort and sacrifice was made to give His word to us, right? The gift of His word. And, you know, you can just kind of feel the heart cry of the Lord. Can't you just watch and read with me for that hour, so I can speak to you, so I can give you life? Now, there's other forms as well. You know, it's not limited to just prayer and the word. It could be other activities, other actions. It could be worship, like, you know, Paul says, singing hymns and spiritual songs in our heart unto the Lord. That's Ephesians 5. It could be speaking in tongues, right? That's one of the wonderful gifts that God has given to His church, so that His Spirit can flow through us. You know, because as we speak in tongues, we're speaking in the tongues of men and angels. You know, we're uttering the mysteries of God. We're declaring the mighty works of God. You know, those are kind of a smattering of scriptures of what all the things we're doing when we allow His Spirit to flow through the gift of tongues. And, you know, all of those things are how we can watch with Him by having a connection that brings life. And, you know, I think if we could summarize it all, you know, we could relate it to that thought of quieting ourselves, quieting our mind, quieting our heart, quieting our spirit, so that we can have a connection to heaven and receive life from Christ. Now, King David made this expression in Psalm 131 and verse 2. He said, "Surely I have behaved and I've quieted myself as a child that's weaned of its mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." Now, David's expressing something very important here, you know, that we can have a life full of activity, full of noise and busyness. But the problem is that we will miss out on receiving that life that comes from above. You know, he's using this natural illustration, right, of receiving life from another source. But he says, no, I've quieted myself so that I can receive the life that's going to cause me to grow and to mature and to become strong, right? Because a little baby that never weans itself of his mother is in for a difficult life, right? In fact, that's an impossibility. Right? But once it can receive that solid food, it can begin to grow and become strong, you know? And so that's a Christian who has learned to receive life through abiding in Christ. The only solution is to quiet ourselves, to watch with him for that hour. Now, when I say that hour, I'm not trying to be dogmatic that we need to set our, you know, press the button on your watch or stopwatch or anything like that. You know, but I do point out, I think it's significant that the Lord uses that time frame, right, as a reference, you know, an hour of our day, which, you know, would include all or some of those activities that I've mentioned. But, you know, even if you think of our tithe, you know, it's not even a tithe of our day. A tithe is 1/10, but what's an hour? Actually, an hour, I do my calculator. What's 1 of 24? It's a little more than 4% of our day. But in that hour, he's offering so much, you know, and so it could be a set time or it could be throughout the day. But he's offering us fellowship. And I think that that's something we can observe from the story of Christ and his disciples in the garden. It's a picture of progressive fellowship. You know, back in Mark's gospel, we read about Christ's invitation to the 12 as he comes to the garden. And in Mark 14:32, it says, they came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to all of his disciples, right, the whole, all 12, well, 11, right, one was off, you know, getting ready to betray the Lord, that he said to them, sit here while I pray. All right, so he said that to the 11, sit here while I pray. But then there were the three, right? And verse 33 said, he took Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and heavy. And he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Tarry here and watch. Watch with me. And so really, when Christ is saying, you can watch with me, really he's saying, come deeper in your fellowship and in your relationship as a disciple of the living God. And it comes down to watching with him. Come and know me. Come and be hidden in me in this time of activity and fellowship. And really, this is the simple secret, right? It's a daily life in Christ of watching with him, of flowing with his life, his vitality, his oil. There's a verse in Proverbs 8, verse 34, it says this, blessed is the man that hears me watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. And so here is our goal each day, is to make time every day to watch at his gates, at his door, you know, because from that time, we find life. We find the favor of the Lord, right? Who doesn't want the favor of the Lord? Lord, I'm in this bind. Lord, I need your favor, your mercy, your compassion. Well, some of that's tied to waiting upon him and receiving life because it's a part of a relationship. You know, it might be in the morning, or it might be spread throughout the day, or it might be at night, or whatever. But, you know, it must be based on a purpose and a determination, an action on our part. and the promised result is life. Now, I mentioned one of the representations of the life of the Spirit is oil, right? And we can connect that to that other parable in Matthew 25 of the virgins, right? Of the wise and foolish. You know, the wise virgins, even though it says they slumbered, but I think what we can understand, it's that sense that there was not a lot going on. They were just waiting for the master to call them to the wedding feast, right? But we know there was action on their part. And why is that? Because their vessels were filled with oil. They had full vessels. But, you know, see, that's the key. Whatever season we're in, you know, sometimes it can be a busy season, but what do? We have to make time to seek for oil. Or maybe it's a season of little activity, not much going on. And actually, sometimes that's worse because you feel like you need to fill the void with activity, right? There's nothing going on, so I need to get active and make something happen or make something, you know, take place. And the temptation is to do lots of other things. But that danger is we can miss out on the oil. We can lack oil in our vessels like those foolish virgins. You know, there's actually another verse in Proverbs I could reference here. Proverbs 21 and verse 20. It says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spends it up." You know, in the dwelling of the wise, those who are watching, there is that precious oil being put into their vessel drop by drop, day by day, time, you know, hour by hour, you could say, so that they are ready when the master calls. But there are others who are content to use up what oil they had. So they had oil, but they're content to just let it be used up. Maybe they obtained something from a past experience, right, with the Lord, but then they do something foolish. They spend it up without replenishing it. So that in that hour of need, they are an empty vessel. And they don't have the life that they need to face that situation. Now, there's just two more points I want to touch on before we close. But the first one is this, is that we have to recognize that this idea of watching, it does involve activity on our part, right? It's not passive in the sense we just sit in our easy chair and just say, "Lord, I'm here I am till you do something," you know. And we talked about the activities that we can do and praying and crying out and speaking in tongues and reading the Bible and seeking Him and abiding in the vine and so forth. But, you know, here's the key though. It must not turn into striving. It is not striving. Watching is activity, but not striving. And what do I mean by that? Because we've touched on the purpose of watching it. It's really to recognize that we don't have power in ourselves. We don't have the life in ourselves. And so instead, we're waiting upon the Lord to renew our strength that will rise up like eagles with new power. But you see, the purpose of that is receiving power from God to do as well. It is not receiving power to move the master to do our will. And that's where we can get into trouble. All right. Instead, we are to be empowered to do His will. And we have to be careful, you know, of trying to use that hour with the Lord to bring about our purpose or our intentions. Because the whole point of it is to receive life and oil and light to do His will. You know, the Apostle Paul, he speaks in 2 Corinthians how we're called to be ministers of the New Testament. And that's a calling for each and every believer. It's not just, you know, pastors and evangelists and so forth. We are all to be ministers of the New Testament. And 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, it says this, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, think about that, that statement, this sentence. We are not sufficient in ourselves. And it says not to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is only found in the Lord. And, you know, that this saying really needs to sink down into our ears, as the Lord said to his disciples. Because sometimes we can get an idea, you know, of what we think should happen, of, you know, what we think, how the best solution is according to our understanding. And we try to make that happen in God by faith that God's going to do it. But, you know, when we use our hour to try and make that come to pass, it ends up being in our own strength and it can turn into a striving. I think the prime example of that, one of the examples, is the story of Mary and Martha, right? Remember when the Lord came to their house and Martha had an idea of what was required to serve the Lord. And, you know, we can read about that in Luke 10, verse 40. It says, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, I'm all by myself. My sister isn't helping me.'" And in fact, she says this statement, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone?" Right? "Bid her, tell her to come help me make the meal or in the kitchen or do, you know, tend to the fire." And so Martha, she had an idea fixed in her head of what activity needed to take place, what she needed to do. And it wasn't working out well for her. In fact, that phrase cumbered about, the literal meaning is to pull and drag around or to be pulled in a different direction. Right? And so her wrong idea was dragging her away from the true purpose of Christ's visit. But Mary, she would not be pulled away from that position at the feet of Jesus. She sat right there. You know, I'm sure that wasn't the first time that Martha, you know, said, "Mary, come on, help me." She wouldn't be budged. And then, of course, in verse 41, the Lord answers, he said, "Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part." And that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so Mary is an awesome picture of those who watch and those who wait upon the Lord, you know, sitting at his feet, hearing his voice, receiving fresh oil, direction, counsel, life. And I love how it says that it's that which shall not be taken away. It can't be taken. You know, many things we have in life are going to pass away. Many things we do are going to pass away. All the activities, you know, if we get into striving, all of that comes to nothing. It's wood, hay, and stubble. Right? But what we receive from the Lord when we watch with him will remain for all eternity. It will be our hiding place as well in this life. So I realize we've looked at lots of little thoughts kind of put together, but I want to close with one last thought. And it kind of epitomizes this concept of watching. And it's in Psalm 123, verse 2. And it says, "Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy on us." And so here's a picture of servants just looking to the master. What are they doing? They're just setting their hope in his mercy. And here's how we watch for him in that hour. You know, sometimes we receive the rhema word, right? It comes into our hearts. Other times there's just a silence and there's a quietness. But we continue because we're his servants and we're hoping in the Lord. There's great power in being a hopeful servant in the Lord and just remaining in that watchful state with him. And so I leave this with you this morning, because really, it's the cry of heaven. Won't you watch with me for 1 hour? You know, as he leads us. And if so, You know, the Lord is saying, I'll pour out my life, my oil, my rhema words, and what you receive will not be taken from you, but it will abide forever. And we will find a hiding place under the shadow of the Almighty as we watch with him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for all that you did for us. Lord, for that example that you've set. Lord, for the hiding place you've given to us. Lord, as we watch and we wait upon you, Lord, in prayer, in your word, in worship, Lord, in the spirit, Lord, we just thank you so much for all of these ways that we can have a connection, Lord, and a place of abiding in the vine of Christ. And Lord, we just pray that you would quicken us afresh and, Lord, cause us to, Lord, to even set our heart anew, Lord, to watch for you for that hour, Lord, of giving ourselves, Lord, to that connection of your kingdom, Lord, because we want to receive all that you have to give to us, that it would remain for all eternity. Lord, make us those faithful servants who will just look to your hand each day to wait at your gate, to wait at your doors, that we might receive life forevermore. And we just thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.